Hello and welcome to the Gathering's Message of the Week. Thank you for listening. It is our prayer that through these messages, God would inspire, challenge, and encourage you. For more information about our church, please visit gatheringtohim.org. That's gathering, number two, him.org. Enjoy and be blessed.
Just wanted to touch a little bit on last week and the transition Sunday. Just how awesome that is, getting to let go of worship leading and giving that to Kara, and just what a blessing that's going to be. Oh, thank you. I will need that. Yeah, and just how I just believe, you know, Kara is going to really carry the vision and take us as a body further than what I could have. And I'm excited to see, Kara, how you're going to develop and grow and move. And I'm excited to have our songs with our DNA that you're going to produce and the worship team and all of that. And I'm still going to be a big part of the worship team. But just how, you know, for me, I've been able to give up things so that others can grow and produce more. John, taking over youth and now worship, and I really believe God's going to work and move and grow in that, and we as a body should be excited. So continue to pray for Kara and John Luke as they continue to develop and grow, and as God moves them forward. And just your words are powerful. I remember, I don't know when this was, a while ago, just sometimes I feel like musically I'm not as skilled as a lot of other people, and you made a comment about singing, and that, you know, that was powerful and that was effective, and I just appreciate it and say thank you, and your words are powerful. And getting to step into a more pastoral role here and caring for the congregation and being more involved with all of you in your lives, I'm excited. I want to encourage each one of you to seek the Lord more, to grow in the Lord, to walk out your destiny, and I'm excited to be able to do that in a greater way, a greater focus now. And sometimes we don't have a lot of encouragement in our lives, and I really want to be a voice of encouragement in your lives, whether it's in your family, your spiritual life, whatever, your work life. I want to encourage you, and I will do my best to do that. So the future's large, the future's great, and I'm excited to where we're going, us as a body, us as the gathering. And I think 2020 is going to be a great year. And I'm looking forward to the vision God's throwing before us. And I don't think it's going to be small. I think it's going to have great size and great weight. And that's good because God can do it through us. Let's not vision small. Amen. So fast forward is the week we're going into this week and fasting. I want to talk a little bit about fasting. And I always forget this. This is like the second or third time this has happened to me. If you ever preach here at the gathering, do not leave your notes in the church, because Pastor Scott and Pastor Todd will read them, and then you just get to repeat everything they said. So this happened to me again today. So a couple verses that we're going to look at, if you want to turn there, or write them down. Hopefully you have your Bibles. Hopefully you have your notebooks. It's very important. Joel 2, we're going to be at. Matthew 6, which Todd already read, we're going to go there. And then Acts 13. So those are some verses we're going to look at today. And we're going to talk about fasting. Fasting is hard. Fasting is exciting. Sometimes I really want to fast. Other times I really don't want to. But it's a good thing. For those of you that really don't know what fasting is, it is abstaining from food, normally for a religious purpose. Giving up food, giving up water, not eating. It's fairly simple. So in order for us to live, we need food. In order for us to live, we need water. But when we abstain from it for God's glory, there's just something powerful for it. We're denying our flesh. We're letting our spirits produce what the Spirit produce in us, what we want. So, as Todd said, Monday to Sunday, we get to fast together. And I'm excited. What does God say about fasting? So if we can turn to Joel 2, we can call this repentance in Joel 2. Joel 2:12, a call to repentance. That is why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Giving me your hearts, come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothes in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. For who knows, perhaps he will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of this curse. Perhaps you will be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as before. So sometimes when we fast, it's for repentance. It's for turning back to God. You know, repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry, and that's it. Repentance is confessing, saying you're sorry, but then changing your direction, turning from the foolish things you were doing, maybe the evil things you were doing, and running after God. It's a change of direction. Very important. And in this passage, you know, it says, come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Return to your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, eager to relent and not punish. So what hope is that? You know, we've all fallen short. We've all done not good things. All, you know, we've all been in places where we weren't supposed to be. I know early in my walk with the Lord, I just kind of stopped. I just dug my heels in and just stopped. And in a lot of ways, it was just rebellion. And no one might say that. I was still doing church. I was still occasionally reading the Word. But again, it's doing it. It's not living it. There wasn't life in it. And thankfully, the Lord woke me up one day. And for whatever reason, God led me to fast because of my rebellion, because of my sin. Fast for repentance' sake. And it was really good. It was a moment that, you know, sometimes we have moments where we go from one level to the next. We go deeper in the Lord. And that's one moment in my life where I knew I was taking a giant step forward. You know, it's one thing just to be saved and walk out this Christian life, but it's another thing to repent and put God number one in your life again, keeping him Lord of your life. And in that moment of repentance, in that moment of fasting, you know, God met me there, and he spoke into my life. And my life, you know, changed in another way, and I went deeper with him. I had greater intimacy with him. And again, it's returning to your first love. It's being willing to say, yeah, I messed up. And God is faithful to forgive. Richard Marcello was in this fall, and he said, God loves mercy more than judgment. I mean, that's our God. That's amazing. God loves to show mercy more than judgment. And that's why Jesus came. That's why he's willing to give up his son. Jesus was willing to die to show us mercy. And God loves mercy. God wants to give us mercy. Philippians 3:13 says, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race, to receive the heavenly prize. Pressing on, moving forward. We've done some really awesome things in the past. We've done some not good things in the past. But it's forgetting the past and moving forward. Pressing on in our faith, moving forward for the heavenly prize. So that's one aspect of fasting. Maybe that's where some of you guys are at this year. Last year was hard. Last year was rough. And it's a turning. This year is going to be a turning. Maybe you're fasting to move forward. You need that mercy from God. And he's willing and excited to give it. Matthew 6:14, if we could turn there. Matthew 6:14, we could call this intimacy with God. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do. For they try to look miserable in this disheveled. There we go. Thank you. So people will admire them for their fasting. As I tell you the truth, that is their only reward they will ever get. That is the only reward. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, then your Father who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Then no one will notice you are fasting except your Father who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Don't store up treasures in heaven here on earth. Don't store up treasures on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them. Store treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So my question is, what reward do you want? Are you fasting just to fast? Are you fasting for God to notice you? For God to give a reward? I know in my life, I have fasted just to fast, and there's no lasting reward. You just feel hungry, and that was that. I thought it was a good idea, but it was just a waste of time because I just did it. I wasn't intimate with the Lord. I didn't really fast and pray. I just didn't eat. Well, that's not helpful. So why are you fasting? Are you fasting to look good? Are you fasting just to feel good spiritually? Are you fasting for a purpose? Are you fasting so that God will notice you? And if you want God to notice you, there needs to be intimacy. There needs to be not this outward sign that everyone sees your suffering, but that God would know it internally, that God would see it. Fasting with a purpose. I mean, I want God to notice me, especially when I'm calling for righteous things, when I'm calling out so that there would be revival, so that my life will be more intimate with Him, so that God will give me vision for the future. The Father who sees everything will reward you. There's a reward to fasting the right way. So again, are we fasting for God to notice us? You know, and Todd just said it, living an undisciplined life, fasting brings discipline into our life. And when we pray and fast, we can receive a reward. So it's not just I'm going to be hungry for a while. It's calling on heaven. Fasting brings a bridge between heaven and earth. Don't know how it works? No, it does, because God's awesome that way. And He asked us to do that. Acts 13, guidance. Sometimes we fast for guidance. Acts 13, 2, 3, and 4. So this is before Paul and Barnabas are led out on their missionary journey. Acts 13. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Dedicate Barnabas and Saul for their special work, for which I have called them." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So Barnabas and Saul, sent out by the Holy Spirit. Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. Again, they were fasting, and God said, the Holy Spirit said, "Dedicate Barnabas and Saul." So, direction, guidance, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. We fast because we want answers from God Himself. You know, the Holy Spirit interrupted their worship. The Holy Spirit interrupted their fasting and said, "Send out." And then in verse 3, it said, after more fasting and more prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. So they heard the Holy Spirit say, "Send them out," but then they prayed and fasted so that there was confirmation. And then Paul and Barnabas were sent out. And the Holy Spirit went with them. And so for guidance, that's another reason why we fast. To be led. You know, just, we all hear it. It's the world. There's so many ways to get to heaven. There's so many ways to get to where you're going. Well, if that was true, go on any road and you'll get to your destination, right? Amen. No, that doesn't work. If you make a left out here on 601 and you're trying to go to Boswell, you're not going to end up in Boswell. Amen. Right? Yeah. You have to go with purpose. You have to go with direction. And that's part of why we're fasting. We want specific direction. We want to know where we're going. We want to fulfill our destiny, but we need steps. We need A, B, and C. We can't just jump. We can't just hope that we'll get to where we're going. I'm sure everyone's heard it. No one just wakes up one day and is in great physical shape. It doesn't happen. You know, you have to wake up with purpose and go, I'm going to work out today. I'm going to have a plan. I'm going to get physically more fit. Same way with our spiritual lives. If we just hope that our spiritual condition will get better, it won't. We have to have a plan. We have to make steps with purpose. And a lot of times that's with God's leading, God's guidance. Read a couple quotes from Lisa Bevere this week, and I thought they were pretty cool, and I want you to think about them. So this is her first quote. A diet changes the way you look, but a fast can changes the way you see. So a fast changes the way you look physically, but a fast or a diet changes the way you look physically, but a fast changes the way you see. Speaking of the spiritual. And then along with fasting, she made this quote, fasting isn't as much about denying self as it is about indulging God. I thought that was interesting. Are we, again, like I've said, I fasted just to fast. Well, I didn't indulge God. I was just denying myself. Well, again, there's not much purpose in that. Let's indulge God. Let's jump into his presence. Let's fast with purpose and for reason. So again, why are we fasting? Why are you fasting? And thankfully, we went over this a little bit, so I'm just going to kind of talk about it again. For the church, why are we fasting? We're fasting for vision. We are fasting for provision. We have a new church building we want to see happen. We want to see be built. And we need direction for that. We need guidance for that. Our future as a body. How big of a vision can we have? And I think we're limited to our imagination, not what God can do or what God wants to do. Spiritual warfare. I want to see lives change for Christ. I want to see lives set free from the bondage of the enemy. I want to see souls saved. I want to see families in our region totally transformed by Christ's love. I want to see our house here overflow. I want to be inconvenienced in 2021 and have to do another service because we don't have enough room. I want that inconvenience. And maybe two services, maybe four services. I don't know. I want to be inconvenienced by not having enough space because God's pouring out his power. God's moving in power. So we're warring. And again, what about our personal? Are we warring? Are we fasting for our personal lives to have vision, for provision, wisdom, financial blessing? Those are things we can fast for personally. Spiritual warfare. For us, what is it? Is it apathy? Is it breaking apathy? Is it contentment? Is it comfort? What has been making you love? What has been making you numb? What has been taking your first love away? So what are you fasting for? You know, we need to have a plan. We need to have a purpose. Again, we can't just fast to fast. It doesn't produce anything good. So we need to have a plan. We need to make steps. And God will show up. You know, let's make God notice us in our fasting. Getting back to our first love. So why are you fasting? Matthew 18:19. This is a great one. Everyone needs to memorize this. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered in my name, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among you. So again, agreement. We agree together. This is what's going to be awesome about this corporate fast, is we're agreeing together for these things. So our faith can increase because we know that God hears us, God notices us, and he wants to produce good things in our lives. God wants lives healed. God wants families saved. God wants his word to go forth, and that's what we're agreeing together with. We want this church to grow, not so that we can have a trophy. We want the church to grow so that his name is glorified, so that God's name is shown through this to this world. God answers prayer. There's power in our agreement. And we need to know that. We need to believe that. There's power in our agreement. God answers our prayers. Maybe it's just a resetting in our lives. We just need to take a break. We just need to let go of some things and just reset. And that's okay. I mean, we do with technology all the time and we don't get mad at technology. Why can't we do it for ourselves? You know, how often do we just shut the power off on our computer because it needs to take a break? Same way with us. We just need to sometimes take a break. We need to reset. God answers prayer. God answers fasting. So the first time I fasted was awful. And it's a good story, but it was awful. I was 17. I was tired. I was in high school, dated some girls, and it always just it wasn't real great. Nothing bad happened. It just wasn't great. I wanted someone that I could really connect with. I wanted someone that I could talk about the Lord with. I wanted someone who understood some of the things I was working through. I wanted someone who believed more than Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I wanted someone to have intimacy with. And so, like I said, I was just done. I was tired. And I thought, I'm going to fast. And so I fasted one whole day, fasted 24 hours, no food. It was awful. I felt terrible. It was just a bad experience. I was not comfortable. I enjoy food. I still enjoy food. And it was a good idea, but I did not enjoy it. The next day, this is the worst part. The next day, I was going with friends to Kennywood, and I was so sick. My guts were just a wreck. I went on one ride and couldn't ride anything else the rest of the day. I spent half the day in the bathroom. It was a waste of a ticket for me. And I thought, you know, yay God, that wasn't worth it. I mean, it was just a terrible experience, and that's okay. But I did it with purpose. I did it with determination, because I wanted a helpmate. I wanted a wife, and so I figured I'm investing in my future, and I'll give it all up to you, God. Unbeknownst to me, a few months later, I always knew Sarah. I mean, she was in preschool, I was in kindergarten, so I always knew her, but I didn't really, you know her. And we started talking, and I realized, wow, there's actually some depth to her. She actually believes this. I'm not being me. This is what my heart's desire was. I wanted someone to communicate with. I wanted someone that believed what I believed. And it caught me off guard. I was surprised. If I talked about someone speaking in tongues, she didn't go, oh, I don't know about that, and walk away. It was, oh, that was interesting. I think that's really cool. I believe the same thing. And as we talked and got to know each other, God was great, and I believe he answered that prayer that fast. As terrible as it was, as awful as my experience was for that 24 hours of not eating, you know, almost a year to the day, we started dating. We started having real relationship. And, you know, I can never deny that. I can never say that God didn't set that up, because too many things happened. It was just incredible. And now, you know, we're moving in ministry together. We have great vision for our lives together. It's not just Josh doing ministry or Sarah doing ministry. It's us as a team doing ministry. And that's something that he planted in me years and years before I met Sarah. And in some ways in her also. And so I want to give you hope for fasting. If it looks awful, if it feels awful, if it's almost a waste of time for you, but you're doing it in faith, if you're doing it in obedience to Christ, if you're doing it, again, in the right way, for God to notice you and answer prayer, God will notice you. God will answer you. Other times fasting. Todd and I fasted 3 weeks, 2 weeks before we went to Thailand. It was a long time. I mean, we fasted. I mean, it was juice, and that was it. And we fasted. And the second or third week into it, we were playing basketball. Again, that's God's grace. That's not, I mean, again, I fasted 24 hours and thought I was going to die. This was God's grace in us. We could function. It was, God was doing it. I mean, I was amazed because it was like, I can function. I'm not just laying on the couch doing nothing. I was doing more than just surviving. And that's God's grace, and I believe he can do that. When we fasted for the conference this year, that's the way it was for me. Just God, it was God's grace in it. I didn't feel terrible, and I was okay with that. I love when that happens when you fast. God's grace comes in, and you don't feel terrible. But there's other times where you just don't feel good. But you're still honoring God. God doesn't love comfort. I don't know if we know this or not. God doesn't love comfort. God doesn't need us to be comfortable. And so, in his grace, when he lets us be comfortable in the midst of a fast, that's awesome. But fasting is for real. Sarah and I, the last bunch of years, we've been fasting at the beginning of the year. Sarah and I make a list, and we pray, and we fast over that list for ourselves personally, for our family. And it's amazing how God answers that. Sometimes we write down really crazy things, and it's like, God, I don't know how you're going to do that, but we're going to pray for it. And God does it. We fell into a house last year. I mean, it's just crazy. We saw the house, walked through the house Wednesday, Thursday, made sure all the banking stuff was cool, put a, bid in on Friday. They accepted it Friday night with no counteroffer. I mean, that doesn't happen. And it just, God just made it happen, and it's perfect for us. Our kids can run around. We have garage space. We have more than one bathroom. Like, just all these things, it's just, God did it, and I have to give him glory for it because he did it. Kind of two things to measure where your spiritual life is. Look at your bank account. Do you give? Do you tithe? Do you give offerings? Are you willing to tip extra to bless someone? That's one way to test your spiritual life. Another way is, are you willing to fast? Can you fast? I've been in times in my spiritual life where I know if I fast, it'll help, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And so these are some ways to test where you're at. And sometimes we need to fast corporately because sometimes in the moment where we're in, we can't bring ourselves to fast. But as a body, we can encourage one another. We can keep each other accountable and fast together. And it actually breaks that stagnancy off, that loss of passion for God off. Why are we fasting? Talked a little bit about comfort and how God doesn't really care about our comfort. He doesn't love comfort like we do. And I'm reading this book called Goliath Must Fall, and it's by Louis Giglio. And kind of what Pastor Scott was saying this morning, talking about how there's giants in our lives, there's Goliaths in our lives, and what are they? How do we destroy them? He talks about anger. He talks about fear being a Goliath. He also talks about comfort being a Goliath. That hurts because we really do enjoy our comfort. We like having large vehicles. We like not sitting beside people we don't really want to sit by. We want to be comfortable. Pastor Scott said, make sure our Goliath is dead. What is your Goliath? Let God finish the job. And it's kind of the same way. Fasting isn't comfortable. Maybe your Goliath is comfort. Fasting isn't comfortable, but neither is our spiritual lives. I mean, really, what in our spiritual lives is comfortable? God's always challenging us. God always wants us to step out of our comfort zone. I mean, look at the cross. There's no comfort in the cross other than knowing Jesus died for us. You know, and then Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. Again, there's no comfort in that. So out of this book, he talks about four ideas, four truths to remember to avoid comfort. And I just want to read the four quick, if you have notes. Faith thrives in discomfort. That's his first point. Faith thrives in our discomfort. Point two is the point of our lives is the fame of Jesus. So the point of our lives is the fame of Jesus, to glorify Jesus. Three is to align ourselves with God. Number four, to remember that life is short. So again, these are four truths to help us avoid being comfortable. If we can stay in these places, we'll avoid comfort, but God can work in our lives. The Goliath of comfort can be defeated. So faith thrives in discomfort. You look at Hebrews 11:1 talking about faith. You know, faith is what? Things we cannot see, things that we hope for. I'm just going to read it because I'm blanking right now. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives assurance about the things we cannot see. So faith thrives in our discomfort. You know, faith isn't for sure. It's our hope. It's our belief. It's not a fact. It's not written down. It's not certified. It's hope. It's belief. And when we're unsure, it keeps us uncomfortable. But if we're focused on God, I mean, it's faith. That's the core of our being. None of us has seen Jesus. None of us saw him on the cross. None of us saw him whipped. But yet our faith is in him. Our hope is in him. And we know that he did it for us. Romans 6:8, to die with Christ is to live with Christ. So faith thrives in holy discomfort. The point of our lives is the fame of Jesus, to glorify Jesus. He makes this comment, the end goal is not us. The end goal is to glorify Jesus. And that's what our hope is. I don't want to be elevated. I don't want people to remember me. I want people to remember Jesus. That people would see Jesus in my life. Jesus took up the cross. He humbled himself to glorify God and to give us salvation. And now we get to glorify Jesus by laying down our lives for him. Align ourselves with God. I kind of mentioned this earlier. We don't end up at our destination by just driving on any road. We end up purposely driving on a direction. And that's the same way. We need to align ourselves with God, get his direction, get his vision. And then life is short. This is a mission statement. Life is short. You know, how often do we strike a match, it gets bright, and then it goes out? You know, that's like our lives. It's quick. And some of us are 30, some of us are 40, some of us are 50, and those years went fast. And, you know, 20 years ago, thinking of 2020, it was like, oh, that'll never get here. Will we even be around in 2020? Will there be an asteroid? Will God snatch us up? Well, you know, I don't know. But now 2020's here, and it's like, that was way too quick. Lots of things happened, and we're here. Life is short. God is big. He makes this a very, very specific point. Life is short. God is big. Don't waste our days. We have breath for moments, and then it vanishes. Life is short. God is big. Life is short, but God is big. So hopefully you understand that God's number one priority in our life is not comfort. And normally we're not comfortable when we fast. It normally hurts. I mean, Todd just charged us with that. Let's do something that's uncomfortable. Let's do something that hurts so that we remember. So what are you going to fast? And I'm asking you this question. Like, you need to be thinking about this. What are you going to fast? Are you going to fast food? Are you going to fast one meal, two meals, all meals? Are you going to not eat sugar for the whole week? You know, what are you fasting from? Fasting directly relates to food, but again, we aren't always able to fast from food. And then on the other hand, there's times where I've fasted food, and it's only been for fasting food's sake, not for seeking God. So this is where it gets, God, what do you want from me? What can I give up to glorify you? What will spur me on to be closer to you? Are you going to fast from what you love? Maybe your love is food. Are you going to fast from what you love? Maybe your love, again, is entertainment. Maybe your love is hours and hours on this project. Are you going to fast from what you enjoy? Are you going to fast from what takes your time away, the time suckers in your life? We all know we do things that just suck our time up. Are we going to lay them down? Are we going to fast from those things? Are you going to fast from the world's influence? Is that social media? Is that CNN? Is that Fox News? Is that your favorite blog spot? What influence do you give in your life to? Is it worldly or is it godly? And I think that's a big question. Are you going to fast from just the world's rhetoric, the world's speech, and just let it go for this week? I mean, there is an importance to knowing what's going on in the world, okay? I go months and months and months and don't care anything about politics. I'll go for a week, care about it, and be like, well, that was enough for a year. But, you know, I do want to try to stay up to date with what's going on. Sarah and I were watching, it was actually something with Benny Hinn. And he was a conference right at the turn of the year, so I don't know if it was the 31st, I don't know if it was the 1st. But he was prophesying about Iran. And I was like, that's really cool. He actually made mention to, he, at one point in his life, he thought Iran was dead. He didn't think there was any Christian influence in Iran. And months later, if you want to say the bishop, the one of the leaders, a apostle from Iran, actually came to Australia and specifically talked to him and said, listen, the church is alive and well in Iran. We are here. We are not dead. And it was, I guess it was really influential for Benny Hinn, and you know, he can't, you know, he doesn't make those statements anymore. Well, I think, you know, he just prays for the persecuted church. Well, he was prophesying over Iran, again, this was the 31st or the 1st, and just saying how God's going to release provision there in Iran. They're not going to be, there's going to be less turmoil. The church is going to be arise in a greater way. God's going to bless and see salvations, huge salvation come to Iran. And if you've been up with a little bit of the news recently, the 3rd of January, the number 2 head of Iran, who's a known terrorist for almost 10 years, was killed. And I just thought that was really interesting to hear someone prophesy that the regime in Iran is going to change, to prophesy that salvation is coming, and then 2 days later, a known terrorist, a head, a number 2 of Iran, was killed. I just find that interesting, and I give God glory to that. And to put those things together, you know, there's times where we need to know what God's doing in the spiritual, what God's doing also around the world, because I think that it sets up God to have who he wants in charge, as he always does, but to see salvation come to a whole nation, and probably multiple nations, because Iraq was oppressed, Iran was oppressed. And I believe wholeheartedly for the salvation of the Middle East. And that God's going to pour his blessing, pour his spirit out there. So is there times to keep up with what's going on in the world? Yes. But maybe not this week. Maybe we need to say, I'm going to cut the chatter. I'm going to let the influence of the world on me go. And I'm just going to silence those voices and let the Lord speak. So maybe that's what we have to fast for. I know for me, that'll definitely be part of it. Cutting out, you know, the social media, cutting out the time suckers of just hopping on my phone for no real good reason, not listening to the political jargon, and, you know, fasting from food, not eating, because I want God to work. And I challenge you to do the same. I want God to notice me. I don't want to just fast to fast. I want God to notice what I'm doing, what I'm giving up, so that there will be a reward. Again, not for me, not for my elevation, but that God would be glorified, that lives would be saved, that we would go in God's direction. So what is your plan? What is your plan? Like, we need to think about this. What does God want us to do? How does God want us to fast? Because when we allow him to work, he's going to move. He's going to do great things. For us, for our community, I'm excited to be inconvenienced this week. I'm excited to not be full of comfort this week because I know God's going to do something. I know that 2020 is a big year, and I want to be in the right step. I want to be in the right place at the right time. And I believe if we can open up our ear and allow God to speak to us, it sets us up for great things. And this is part of us setting up. You know, just sports teams practice so they can win championships. I mean, is this kind of like practice? Not really. We're really doing it. But it's setting us up to do good things. It's setting us up so that we can thrive, so that we can succeed. So let's listen to the Holy Spirit. I mean, he knows best. Amen. Lord, have your way. So let the Lord lead us. Let the Lord guide us. Let him give us the steps. So January 6th to January 12th, we get to fast together. We get to agree and see what God's going to do. If you got time in the morning, I'll just open up the door, 7 to 9. Let's come and join together. And something I really challenge us, whether it's spouses, it's others here, I really challenge us that you would say what you're fasting from. You would speak to someone and say, I'm fasting from this, this is what I'm doing, and keep someone else accountable. Someone else needs your help, so go say, hey, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm doing, and keep them accountable. And they can help keep you accountable also. And it's something that we can do together to build each other up. Because probably Tuesday, Wednesday, we might not be feeling real great. But in some ways, misery loves company. And we can come together and encourage each other. And we can plow ahead. And how awesome is that? I mean, that's what we're here for. We're here to build each other up. Iron sharpens iron. We're here not to have complacency. We're here to push each other forward. So let's push each other a little bit this week. I mean, how big is this week? I mean, really, this could be a huge week for all of us here. This could be a huge week for our church if we take it serious. Are we willing to be inconvenienced? Are we willing to not have comfort for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of our family, for the sake of each other, for our sake? I think it's going to be a big week, and I'm excited to hear the testimonies. I'm excited to hear what God's going to be doing, what vision God's going to be giving each one of you. I believe God will speak. I know God will speak. Some of us need words. Some of us need a vision. Some of us need clarity. And I believe God will speak it. And have your ears open. Some of us need new jobs. Some of us need refreshment in life. And I believe this week can do it for us. So let's join together. Let's make this week holy. Like, let's sanctify this week and say, God, we're doing this for you. We're moving forward. It might be really difficult, but great things aren't cheap. Great things don't come without sacrifice. So let's sacrifice together and see what God is doing, what God will do, how God wants to lead us and move us forward. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this thing called fasting. God, we don't always know how it works. We don't always know why it works. But God, we do know that it does work. And Lord, I ask that even now you would speak to each one of us, God, that you would give us specifics on how you want us to fast, whether it's a meal, whether it's how we spend our time, whether it's what we do or what we don't do. God, I pray that you would speak to each one of us. Let us see, let us know what best way to honor you, what best way to give you glory. God, I thank you that you speak. God, I pray that as we fast, Lord, it would just open up our ears, that these bridges would be built between heaven. God, that your word would be strong in our ears. God, that we would not just hear what you're saying, but God, we would see it in faith. Lord, and I'm excited to hear the testimony, to hear the great things, Lord, that you're doing this week. So God, give us courage, give us strength, give us wisdom in this. God, we honor you. And I thank you that you move in our discomfort. God, I thank you that you honor our sacrifice. Lord, I thank you that you will notice us this week and you will give us your reward. Not a little reward, not an earthly reward, but you'll give us a heavenly reward. Thank you for noticing us, God. We honor you.